Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. The word temenos means sacred space in Greek. It denotes a place that is more than a mere physical location, an area of interest that is special and set apart. Our Olympian temenos is dedicated to discovering and interacting with the many phenomenal manifestations of living mythology and its local parallels in our surrounding culture. Our ongoing mission is to explore, honor, and celebrate the mythical world around us with a special focus on non-traditional subcultures, folklore entities, fabulous beasts, haunted places, celestial chariots, otherworld encounters, magical and mystical personalities, unique establishments, and even living labyrinths, the subject of today's show. I'm greatly honored to bring you Athena Dugan and her guest Jennifer Phillips, and today their topic is going to be Labyrinths, the Moon, and Jens's Garden. Greetings and welcome, ladies.
Greetings. Hi, Hercules. Thank you. Hello.
I'll be here in case they need me. I'm looking forward to listening to your show.
Great. All right. So let's give it a go. I'm Athena, Labyrinth Creatress of Walkers of the Labyrinth, and tonight we'll be talking with herbal educator and labyrinth facilitator Jennifer Phillips of Jens's Garden. Jennifer, she has an herbal teaching garden in Northwest Rhode Island. For several years, she held herbal classes there and in southern New England locations. In her herbal garden, she grows both medicinal and magical herbs. Living a seasonal life in the autumn time, she gives workshops helping people craft their own brooms. After mentoring under Tracy of One Path Labyrinth Ventures, Jennifer became a Veritas-trained labyrinth facilitator with Reverend Lauren Archeris. So Jennifer, she's a previous self-described failed meditator, and she discovered the labyrinth at her first New England Woman's Herbal Conference. There she found the benefits of walking meditation, and now she has a mission. She's going to be bringing the labyrinth to as many people as she can. So thank you, and hello, Jennifer. Thank you for being here with us. How are you?
I'm very well, Athena. Thank you very much for inviting me to do this with you. I'm very excited to be with you.
Yeah, great. This is good because it's funny. We went to we're alumni from the Veritas Labyrinth Summer School, and after the graduation, we haven't really been that much in touch except for the past 3 months, which is great. And late last month, you stepped out of your comfort zone to prepare a presentation on Pecha Kucha.
Yes,
And for those people that don't know what that is, that's a storyteller's platform, right, in which you get to do a presentation show using 20 slides for 20 seconds,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
So what was that experience like for you?
It was fun and nerve-wracking at the same time. I do believe in stepping outside of my comfort zone, but like anyone, my stomach is all like in knots. But once it was done, it was such a relief, and I got so many good feedbacks on it. I'll tell you how it happened. Let's start from the beginning. So I had not heard of it before, maybe once or twice in passing, but it did not stay. And even the pronunciation of it is hard for me. So I had to write it down that night phonetically to do. But the basics premise is you're right. You are given a topic and you could approach it as vaguely or as precision-like that you want it. You just have to touch base a little bit with it. And you have the chance to do a presentation of 20 slides that you can only speak for 20 seconds on each of them for. My friend had done it the month before, and being supportive when he had posted what he was doing. I'm like, okay, I can totally support him on that, because all I had to do was watch it live on Facebook. Normally they are in the world before pandemic. They were normally done at bars or different venues. But now they're being done online via Zoom. So I'm like, okay, I can be in my pajamas and watch him do this. Awesome. I don't have to go out late at night. So I watched him do it. And just the mere thought of 20 seconds and 20 slides kind of wet my whistle. Like, I like to challenge myself in a way. And I'm like, that it speaks to me. I don't have to, you know, write a 100-page essay. I don't have to be speaking for 10 minutes like a TED Talk or something. You know, this is, I love this time limit. Kind of probably why I love the labyrinth, right? There's a set journey in and out. You get to the
end. Right.
So I think in the same way it related to me, like I had a defined, in this case, amount of time. And the labyrinth is a, you have a defined distance. But here it was the defined set of times and defined rules. And like, I kind of want to just do one on my labyrinth experience. But I'm not going to do it for real. I'm just going to do it for myself. Maybe I'll put it on my site or my page. But while I was watching Joe do his, and then they were telling what the November topic was going to be, and then they mentioned the November topic was grounded. How can I not do it for real? So it was a great exercise for me to come up with 20 slides that I felt represented my labyrinth experience. Starting with a picture of my feet and a pair of red socks shooting up to the sky,
right.
Which was just kind of a metaphor for, you know, once I was told to ground myself, I should wear red on my feet. So I started my presentation with that.
Mm-hmm.
I ended with the 19th slide with my feet in the side, the center of labyrinth, in those same red socks. And then another fun photo at the end. But it gave me a nice explanation of what I have been doing.
Yeah.
And it only lasted for 6 and 40 seconds.
Wow. That was a great presentation. And I thought,
thank you.
You having the red shoes stepping on the ground, that was perfect, because it also, for me, when I saw it, I thought, oh, my God, that's perfect. It relates to, when I saw the red, I thought chakras, and I thought, like,
correct.
You know, it, that's the grounding point, you know, and I thought that was perfect. It's such, yeah, it was a great presentation, and you have it on your website, too, where people can review it, right?
Yes, I have a link to it, not on my website, but on the Jens's Garden Facebook page or the
okay.
Labyrinth by Jens's Garden.
Okay, that's,
but if they
that's
do,
great.
You know, yeah, so it is there. And it did, I think it was a great introduction to the labyrinth for people who did not know what it was. So in
right.
that presentation, I spoke as in, you might not never know what a labyrinth is. So I gave some great, well, you saw it, but for your listeners, I gave some great examples of what the benefits of labyrinth is, how to walk the labyrinth.
Right.
And I'd like to say all but the last slide, which I did credit to the photographer, were my own pictures, good or bad.
That's excellent. So speaking of, like, people not knowing what the labyrinth is, so how did you begin your labyrinth journey?
Yeah, so as you said, my first one I discovered at the Rhode Island, not the Rhode Island, the New England Women's Herbal Conference. So I was studying herbal medicine. So I would go to different conferences and things like that. The first one I went to had a labyrinth there. It was made every year by a woman named Jude, and I wish, and her last name is not going through my head right now, but she's from, I believe, South Carolina. She's a lovely woman who brings that each year to the conference, and she would do a workshop at the beginning with a group of women, and they would build a labyrinth for all the women. It was usually about 600 women that attended this conference, in the mountains of New Hampshire, nestled like by a lake, just beautiful. So it was my first opportunity to learn about the labyrinth, to walk it there, and I just realized I need to know more about this. So I went home and I went online. So this was probably about a good dozen years ago. And I'm like, how do I make this? I need to know, because that's me. I need to know how to make this. How can I do this to myself? And yes, I learned how to make one. My first one was so bad, Athena. It involves string and rocks. I've really refined, got it a lot better now. But that's, I'm sure you remember your first time you've made one, right? It was not.
Yeah, it was an experience, but it was, I figured it out. It wasn't just spirals.
Yeah.
A good start, though.
Learning the seed pattern, and from there, just learning to draw it on paper, I think is a good meditative thing, too.
Right.
So, I have a monkey mind, and it helps me clear it, right? I have that chatter, squirrel on a,
it helps you focus your mind and your intentions. That's pretty much the way of the labyrinth, right? Is that like an automatic connection for you? Like, as soon as you stepped on the labyrinth, you began to develop this calm and focus, or how did that happen?
It was lovely. So it was the evening. It's probably after supper. It was that dusk twilight. It was a labyrinth made of sand, seven circuits, and it's an herbal conference. So there's a lot of decorating with flowers. There might have been a potted rosemary or a potted lavender. It kind of had those Tibetan flags around it. And at night, they put the little tea lights down, the battery flickering ones, of course.
Nice.
And it was just so soulful, so peaceful. Going in there in silence. Silence sometimes can bother me, being in my own head and thoughts. But there were other women around. I actually walked in with a friend, my friend Tracy. I call her Yoga Tracy. Lots of Tracys in my life. So she was a fellow herbalist. So we walked in kind of together, paced out, but together. So just knowing I was having this, I'm in this beautiful location. I'm walking in this beautiful labyrinth, my first time ever, with someone I knew, sharing an experience, but we were both separate. And it just bring this calm and peace to me.
And that's what's beautiful about the labyrinth, too. It's when you're there, the labyrinth is like the container, and then with the people that are around you, it's like each other, everyone's holding space for each other. It makes it such a nice communal togetherness.
It does. Holding space, doing it in a group, there's something to be said with, walking it alone. And that's what makes it so versatile, right? You can have an awesome experience walking alone, but then when you're in a group and you are part of holding someone else's space, being it you already walked it, so now you're on the outer edges, holding the space for the people in it at that time, or, you're waiting your turn and you're holding the space, or being in it knowing people around you are holding that space for you. And I think it's a good introduction for some people who are not used to energy and the term holding space. What does that mean? I loved using that in my workshops, explaining about holding space. And then they have that experience for themselves. And I think that part is changing too, not just walking through the labyrinth, which is, I think, a changing, but learning to hold space, being part of holding space for someone else, walking through and holding space too. So many different parts of that process.
Yeah. Now, is that something, what do you do with the person that comes to your labyrinth walks, and they are a little bit hesitant because maybe it's not their religion, or they have like this myth that they think about it. How would you debunk that, or how do you do that?
Yeah, so I've been blessed. There's lots of different people that have showed up to the walks. A lot of times they are in a pagan space, be it it's in like in a New Age store or place center that has a more open-minded crowd. But occasionally, as in the situations where you're getting everyone, I always like to start my workshops off with a Labyrinth 101 and, you know, explaining kind of the origins. And that is not specific to a religion. So definitely you can utilize them within a ceremony for a religion. I've done rituals, thinking one for Lilith, you know, the beginning of summer, or they want to call it midsummer, but in my mind it's the beginning of summer,
right,
for Lilith, where we have used the labyrinth in ritual. So I've done events that we've used it, but then I got my facilitator training done at Grace Cathedral, an Episcopal cathedral in the middle of San Francisco, you know, that has two beautiful labyrinths I saw there. I think there was a third, like a canvas labyrinth somewhere, but there I just saw the one in the cathedral itself and outside in like we call the courtyard maybe. You know, and yes, that was in a, you know, a religious structure, but again, it's not Episcopalian, it's not Catholic,
right,
it's not pagan. Well, you know, it might be pagan in sort that is so old, and we think of the religions as pagan religions.
Right.
So, you know, I bring that education that it's just an archetype. It's a tool that can be used, you know, however you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do sometimes a couple energy, kind of working or explaining energy a little bit to the crowd if they're not a crowd that's already working with it. You know,
right.
I like to find out why everyone has come. You know, so, you know, we'll do the, hi, my name is.
Right.
And, you know, I've walked a labyrinth before. I haven't walked a labyrinth before. This is the reason I came here. So
oh, that's great.
Though I might, yeah, I might be presenting a class with a certain theme, I don't really know what I'm going to do exactly until I meet the people participating.
Oh, so you work from an intuitive standpoint when you create your, you know, you're going to do your labyrinth facilitation and walk, but you allow that flexibility for energy to flow.
Correct.
That's great.
And then,
so what's your favorite labyrinth design now? Do you have one?
I do. The Seventh Circuit. I'm a classic kind of gal.
Yeah.
And I think it is because it's the easiest to whip out.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten to the point where I can quickly, you know, whip one out on paper, maybe not the neatest, but very quickly to get show someone what it is and to show that seed pattern and to, like, look, you really could do it yourself. And then on the ground, you know, give me a can of spray paint or some flour and I can, you know, whip one out pretty quickly on that. You mentioned chakras earlier.
Yeah.
And most Western women or men know about chakras in some way. So they know about there's at least seven of them. So that's another way you can kind of approach the labyrinth with them.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you know, you can work each circuit could represent a chakra that you're clearing, you know, and you can give them ideas.
Yeah.
I think the Seventh Circuit is versatile.
Yeah, I think that's great, too, because I know for myself, when I do a Seventh Circuit, sometimes I can feel that chakra energy if I, like, you know, put my mind or my focus in that intention that I'm going to walk it to activate my chakras, whatever. I can actually feel that energy go to each, you know, each circuit and according to the labyrinth circuits, too. So
it's great. Now, a question to you.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking you a question. Mm-hmm. So I think there's two teams, four and the seven circuits. I'm on the team that the circuit that I first enter is red? Is my root chakra, right? So the first one I'm walking into, and then each circuit that I go through, I'm going up on through my chakras until I get to I enter the center and I'm up to my crown. Where the other team is, they're looking at the circuits. They're actually looking at the outer circuit. Well, that must be the sacral, root, and then sacral. I'm getting these wrong. I'm thinking root, sacral. Oh, why am I? I'm missing the one. Let's go with colors.
When you go through their chakras, when you go through the labyrinth, it's interesting. You start at the third chakra, the Manipura chakra, and that's how I've seen it lead in.
Okay, so when you're going in, starting at the third, and then you go around.
It's funny because when I first started making the chakra labyrinths, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense, you know. So I was like, you know, I wanted to start with the red because to me it makes sense because you're grounding there, you know.
Right.
And to tell you honestly, I don't know the technical reason why they have it start that way, but I'm sure it's the way the labyrinth lays and the circuits, how they're going around. So there's a connection there, and I think it's all an intuitive flow, you know?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
No,
With your field of expertise, though, you do you work with herbs on your labyrinths, or what do you do?
Yeah, so sometimes we do that. So definitely at the herbal conferences, you know, when we're decorating them, we are going to be using different herbs. Jude, the one that does them for the New England Herbal Conference, I'm sure she does for the Southeast Women's Herbal Conference also, she utilizes flower essences with the different chakras. We'll also utilize crystals and different things within that. Sometimes because so many different women are building that and decorating it together, there might not be a pattern to it in that, but just more decorative. When I've done it for the Rhode Island Herb Fest, I usually somehow end up with a group of children. I don't usually sign up for the children's workshop, but somehow I end up with them. So when I do,
and children love the labyrinth.
Oh, they do. So I have them use the flowers and the herbs to help decorate it. So it's usually on that instance more decorative to help do the outlines just to make it pop a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But in my actual, if I'm somewhere doing a workshop, I like to bring in flower essences to use because depending on, again, where we're going or what the group is, there might be a meditation involved. And if we're doing a meditation, I might, you know, involve an herb or two or flower, you know, that I have in flower essences and give people some opportunity to experience herbs that way.
That's great. I want to talk about your workshops, but I want to go back a little bit. Do you remember your first labyrinth build and what supplies did you use and was it permanent or was it a pop-up labyrinth? That's what you do, right? You do pop-up labyrinths. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I can definitely talk about the evolution. So the first one I mentioned was string. There was not much on YouTube at the time. I got the seed pattern off of YouTube, but not so much of how do you build one. So in my thought is like, okay, I can outline everything in string. Like I didn't know anything about flour. I didn't know anything about sand. So I had string looped around to make my circuits. And then I put like sticks and stones to hold it down. and by that evening, my dog had run through it a million times. And then I was lucky enough, I was at a Yule time fair up in Worcester, Massachusetts, and I stumbled across Tracy of One Path Venture. So she's my labyrinth Tracy. So I stumbled across her and her husband. They were vending, and she was selling these ceramic finger labyrinths. And I was just like, oh, you know, I'm trying to learn more about labyrinths, and she was going to be doing some workshops locally. So, you know, I stalked her, and I attended one of her workshops, and I said, I need to learn more. You know, I want to kind of do what you do, but in my own way. You know, I don't want to do exactly what someone else is doing because they have their energy and what they bring, and I'm going to have my energy and what I bring. And she was just a beautiful enough person to say, okay, invited me to her home where she had a labyrinth there in her backyard, a five circuit made with local stones. So beautiful to be able to, you know, walk hers and have her give me more. And speaking of back to the chakras, I like to walk labyrinths like very soft eye, like almost with my eyes closed if I can.
Right. Yeah.
And that day the colors were just hitting me. Like I can still close my eyes now and see that red I was getting as I was first walking in, and then just how the colors, like I cleared all my chakras right up to the top going into that labyrinth for the first time. But then she's the one that taught me about flower, using, you know, flower to outline it. And then my next few going to the New England the New England Herbal conferences, you get to choose like nine things. What do you want to do at this one time slot? So I started to choose at the beginning of the conference to go help build the labyrinth, and I learned how to make with sand.
Okay.
That was really learning. You know, finally someone's teaching me and giving me the tools to do
right,
that.
Right, you got the seed patterns.
Yeah, I got the seed patterns, and now just like, oh, you don't do in the with string, right? I can like take a cup of flour or a cup of sand and, you know, start to make those lines. In the pop-up ones that I've done recently, and that was in my town, at a local church, and then a few private backyards, I use the marking paint. I'm from Rhode Island. I don't pronounce my R's very well. Marking paint, like you would mark a soccer field or sports field. It's like inverted paint. So I've learned about that. And, you know, I will go to the place first. I'm like, I'm actually using paint. Is that so okay? And if I'm on grass, it's going to, like, come right off. So I usually get that okay, depending on the situation. Flour is good, too. Sand is good. But you need to know about the land you're on. I once did an event, and I had all my sand with me, and I'm, like, all environmental, and this is going to be great. And their sump pump had been running for days, and I did not know that. Like, the rain probably was a week ago, but their back lawn was still wet. So that sand just kind of, like, melted, sucked right up into the ground. It was so wet, and I was just, like, lost.
Oh,
they're like, what am I going to do in this moment? But as mentioned, the rain had come with a really bad storm. There were several old trees on the property. And it was a lot of broken pine branches.
Wow.
So though I laid down the sand and it was like just disappearing, I was able to gather enough branches of those pines and pine cones and pine. And I outlined the whole labyrinth in pine branches. My hands were so sticky afterwards. It was so sticky. And then I did grab some kids.
That's great. Yeah. What size labyrinth was it?
A seven circuit.
Oh, that's not, wow. That's very resourceful. You were able to get that much for, wow, that's amazing. That's great.
Yes.
That's great.
So, they had a lot of trees, luckily.
Yeah.
And,
so,
yeah.
So this is part of your pop-up labyrinth, and obviously you're resourceful. You're able to just work with nature, which is great. You know, you took sand and she gave you trees. That's great. So, but your pop-up labyrinth, is that part of your Adopt a Spot program, the pop-up labyrinth that you're doing? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yes. All right. So the Adopt a Spot and the pop-up, they kind of relate, but they are different.
Okay.
So the pandemic and classes stopped. So I had done herbal classes. I was doing broom classes and, you know, some labyrinth classes, and all the classes stopped. I am blessed enough that I work full time. So that income was okay as a loss, because it was just something I was going to do anyway for the joy of it. And I don't need to do it to keep me afloat. So I'm very blessed in that way. In the pandemic, I was able to keep my job. But it really weighed on me, how can I get back to my community? I wasn't going to make 1,000 masks like I saw some other people doing. I'm not going to be able to volunteer to get food or money or this or that. Like, but how could I give back to my immediate community? And it kept on coming to me like, well, make some labyrinths for the community. Like, but, you know, that voice in your head was like, oh, no, like, this is my community, like my town, is not going to understand what a labyrinth is. You know, like,
right.
This is not going to, we're not in like a progressive community.
Right.
I love my town. I'm like sixth generation, but yeah, it can be very narrow-minded in some ways. But so it kept on coming to me that like I should do something, and I'm like, no, I was not confident enough. The restrictions for, you know, gatherings kind of subsided a little bit, and some local places that I had scheduled classes were like, are you ready? Can you come do this now? And one of them in that summer was, we're going to do a small labyrinth. I have canvas labyrinths also that I will bring into like a shop or somewhere, like a New Age store. They're awesome in my area of having events. So I have a small one. It's a 10x10 canvas. I also have a 15x15, but the 10x10 is what works in this location. It's only 4 circuits, but only one person's in and out of time.
Right.
So it's a good size for that space. And we've only 5 people attended, all wearing masks, all like socially distanced around the labyrinth, right? We got plenty of room. And one of those people have never walked the labyrinth. Was there, right? One of the persons who really didn't know what I was talking about when it came to energy and holding space was there. And she had the most profound experience in it. She had just been, I know, she had been overwhelmed with the pandemic. I mean, other people did have moments too, but she's the one that really touched me, because she didn't know what she was in for. And I think she was the one that was hurting the most during this. I think everyone hurts in their own way. But I want to say she was an essential worker and had a really distance from everyone socially. And it was hitting her heart. And I think she was learning about her own empathy and then how empathetic she might be. And she probably didn't realize, but she's learning her gifts now. All right. And she just talked about the energy she felt and us holding space for her. And I'm like, Jen, you have to do it. This is bigger than you. It doesn't matter if your feelings get hurt. If someone doesn't understand what you're trying to do, you need to bring it to the town somehow. I created an email. I sent it to our Parks and Rec. Didn't hear anything. But I also knew a local pastor. It was my second cousin twice removed, whatever that might be. So it was a cousin's husband. So, and I knew he was familiar with the labyrinth, going to different religious retreats. So I approached him saying, we've talked about it before. Can I do one on the church's property? And he's like, sure thing. So I went down in a corner of their parking lot. I did a 7 circuit, a little wider than I normally would, because in a pandemic, if multiple people are in there, I want to make sure they're kind of spaced.
Right.
So I did one there. We did a small event with a few of his parishioners, so that way they could take it and be ambassadors to their friends, family, and other parishioners.
That's,
you know, posted
that's
it.
Great.
Yeah. And he knew the woman I was trying to get a touch with in Parks and Rec. He's like, let me call Andrea. I'll take care of this for you. So he reached out to Andrea, who hadn't got my email. It kind of filtered through wherever. So then my local Parks and Rec said, yes. I mean, it took a while because this is town. So, you know, you have to bring it to this person who brings it to that person who just says once yes. And then you have to be like, okay, now I have to requisition the supplies. And now I got to figure out when the town people are actually like mowing the grass. So we'll do it right after. Like, it's a thing. So it probably took a good month. And they allowed me to go make a couple what I call pop-up labyrinths in one of our local parks.
You were able to put forth your facilitator skills. So it's like, you know, it pays for itself, and you were able to create connection. And does that person come back? She comes back to your walks, doesn't she? When she
person that I would hope. Had to have another event in that facility just because of the pandemic is, you know, and putting my efforts in other things. But she learned about different labyrinths around her area, so I'm hoping she uses those too now.
Oh, that's great.
So my town did embrace the labyrinths. Now I'll get to the adopt-a-spot. So I was talking to a friend, and I said, okay, like, how am I still going to give back, right? Because, you know, I'm not going to just pop up labyrinths all the time, right? Like, should I join the Historical Society? Should I join this? She was voting for me to go to the Lions Club. Then she mentioned, thinking more of my flowers and herbs, she's like, oh, you could adopt a spot. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I could adopt a spot as Jen's Garden, like the herbalist. And then she pulled up the website, and we were going through all the spots in town that are still up for adoption. And the east lawn came up of this old lodge that I used to go to all the time for, like, all our family Christmas parties and when I was in Girl Scouts and when my kids went to Boy Scouts and when I did TAP. Like, it's just a local kind of rec lodge.
Yeah.
And the east lawn was there. And, like, I could adopt the east lawn. I could put a labyrinth in the east lawn. Like, I'm like, this is it. So I recently last month put a proposal to the town manager. And luckily the receptionist, she's like, oh, this would be so, like, she was on board because she had saw what I was doing with Parks and Rec. And she's like, yes, this is going to happen. I'm like, okay. And, you know, my application had a little doodle on the back of a labyrinth and, like, plant wildflowers, labyrinth. And they said, yes, go for it. And I'm like, awesome. So it's not built yet. I'm going to do something that's kind of semi-permanent. So I'm still playing with some things. Been snowing here. So we'll have snow on the ground, and then it goes away. And then it's like, okay, it's going to be warm for a couple of days, and then it rains. So I've not done a temporary one there. So it'll probably be in the early spring is when I'm going to do it. But I have the spot. So I'm going to have a pretty temporary permanent one. So I'm going to call it a semi-permanent. I'm going to do it something that's easily, if I can't maintain the spot and it has to go back to being the east lawn. This sounds
right.
Really
oh, that's
like
great,
a
though.
Small lawn.
Yeah, that's good. I just actually helped a friend create a temporary labyrinth in her area, which I was really excited to be a part of. Because sometimes, you know, you just want to be able to walk on the earth, you know, and labyrinths give you that beauty, you know, and that honor. And adopt the spots, they're pretty much in your town. So if anyone's looking for an adopt a spot, you can look into your area and see if there's the possibility of.
I think most towns are I'm in Rhode Island, and as I'm driving through different towns, I see tons of adopt a spots. Usually they're a small little area.
Right.
But if you really go onto your town's website, there's a couple larger areas. Even if it is in the middle of an intersection, there was a couple larger spots that, like, I could possibly, but when I saw the East Lawn, it was perfect. Because let's admit, the town doesn't want to maintain everything. And if you
right.
can do something for the town in it, I think it's a beautiful
yeah.
way to get the labyrinth out there.
Exactly, because so, everybody needs calm nowadays.
Especially nowadays, yeah.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. Yeah. So I want you to tell me about your workshops, and I want to talk about how Jenza's Garden ties in with your workshops. Did your workshops start first, or did Jenza's Garden? And I signed up for your workshop, your new and full moon workshop, which I'm really excited to experience. So can you tell me about your workshops, how that all
yeah.
got started? Yeah.
Okay. Jenza's Garden, which logo about, oh, I don't know, not quite 20 years ago, was just like, where my imagination grows wild. Jenza's a nickname I had. And for some reason, Jenza's Garden came up. And I made that. And it was more crafty stuff. It was not workshops. It was not herbal stuff. It was just me going to craft fairs, maybe making totes or making this or making altar cloths or doing different things. And I was telling my son today that I'd love to get my readings done, get a reading done and things like that. But I don't believe in making life-changing decisions. He was going for a reading today, so I wanted to let him know, like, don't let it rule your lest your right life guide you in a way. So I had gone to, I was at a Rhode Island Pagan Fest, and I was getting a reading done, and, you know, the gentleman was like, you need to do more in the garden. I know your business says that, do more in the garden. And I'm like, well, I've been thinking about herbal stuff. And then I made this slow transition into what's now become an herbal teaching garden. So it started with herbals, having a teaching garden, showing people how to make their own medicine, going to different locations and having herbal workshops. The labyrinth came, as I said, when I went to a New England Women's right. Herbal Conference. And when I learn something, I want to teach something. I think I'm a natural teacher in the way that I teach how I want to learn. I'm not going to be the best teacher for everyone. Everyone learns differently.
Right.
But certain people are drawn to me because the way I teach. I don't talk down, and I don't use a lot of big words, though. In the middle of the class, sometimes, like, I can't pronounce that. I don't know. You know, this is why I'm not, you know, I'm not a clinical herbalist. I'm just an educator. You know?
Right.
I can simplify things, and I can make things to a point where, oh, wait, I can do that. if Jen could do it, anyone could do it. But so I have that natural, like, I've learned something, and now I need to share it. So it's about me. It's always been about getting knowledge out. I'll learn something, and now I need to share it. Now,
that's great.
Do I do workshops and make money? Yes, because there has to be an energy exchange. And you can't do anything without getting exhausted, so you need that exchange of energy. So when I learn more about the labyrinth, I'm like, well, now I have to bring the labyrinth to people. I got to show them that Jen, full of energy, that couldn't sit and meditate, can get to a meditative state by using the labyrinth, and so can you if you're similar to me, or maybe not exactly, but it's a tool. It's one tool out of many tools, and maybe it resonates with you. So how do I bring that to people? Well, I have a workshop which could be like at someone's business. It could be at my own home or at a private home, which we might have a handful to a dozen people come together because of the host or the store. And I say, hey, this is a labyrinth. Sometimes they help me build it. Sometimes it's a canvas when I bring. And we learn about the labyrinth, and they learn how they can use it. Because I get joy out of giving people knowledge.
Right, that's great. Yeah, but so in your workshops now, is you have the full moon labyrinth walks. Now, was this something that used to be physical and then went virtual because of the pandemic, or is this a course that's always been a virtual course?
Yeah, so the one that you were doing, you'll find that a link to that at www.jensesgarden.com, and then it brings you to a teachable website. So what that one is about setting intentions and kind of playing or doing workshops, kind of stumbled across the fact that people do finger walks within a labyrinth. Why can't we do some journaling through a labyrinth, right? Because what do we do in the winter? Can we get outside to a labyrinth? You know, I'm lucky enough to have made my own 5x7 one so I can walk it inside. I have my own finger labyrinth, but what's another way we could use it? And I was really like, did a couple workshops where I would hand out, you know, show someone how to make, draw a labyrinth on a piece of paper, and then we started to journal through it. I think this started kind of because I doodle labyrinth. You might do it too, where you're, you know, you're just working on your C pattern, and then the next thing you're decorating it, and it looks like a giant Zentangle. So that's kind of how the idea of doing journaling through it. And then I knew I wanted to do some online platform, some online courses. And I also work with the moon. So how can I integrate? How can I bring something that someone else might be want to work with, but work with it in a different way? So maybe you knew about, you know, a labyrinth and just like, oh, yeah, let me learn to journal through it. But you didn't know about working with the intentions of the moon. Or maybe you're drawn to it because you do understand with working with your moon phases, but you didn't know about the labyrinth part. So I wanted to kind of bring something that wasn't normally together and bring it together. So that had always been an online course that started back last February. And what I do, I call it a course, but it's more of a personal journal or journey for you. Where you go online either a couple days before the new moon or the full moon or a couple days after, because I do believe that energy is still there.
Right.
And I've created a PDF of a seven circuit labyrinth that you're able to print out. On that labyrinth, it will give the date, of course. It will say new moon, full moon, and it will give you where is the moon today. So, for example, new moon, probably starting any time after midnight. I forget the exact time it's coming out, but we're calling it tomorrow. I want to say actually it's right before midnight tonight that it is technically everyone's going to consider because majority of the energy is on the 14th. So the moon's going to be in Sagittarius. So I talk, it used to be in a video. Now I'm doing it in audio because I think it's just a little easier for people to like quickly access on audio versus have to watch a video. So it's just an, you know, quick MP4 or something. I'm very bad with that stuff. So it's a video. The audio tells you, okay, this is the new moon. New moon is about setting intention, putting down this, you know, sowing those seeds of those ideas that you have. It's in Sagittarius. What does Sagittarius briefly kind of mean? The Sagittarius energy is, you know, of gaining knowledge, of adventuring, of journeying. I can't speak. And this is what I do with my students. I'm like, I can't speak. And we have fun. We have play. So you're taking a journey, right? So Sagittarius energy. Oh, but the day of the week is Monday. Monday is ruled by the moon. You know, so what is that moon, you know, lunar energy? That the moon's more of your emotions, kind of that, the reflection. And, you know, so I'll give them a little bit of that. And then I'll be like, well, what's our season right now? So we're in Sagittarius. So new moons usually fall if it's in where I call it a season. But, you know, if you're born this, you know, the last few days, you're in Sagittarius. But it's usually, it's kind of coincidental. The new moon usually the sign it is in is the season we're in. in a zodiac season way.
Right.
So I always think that's kind of funny. So I'll talk about that just briefly. Give them a, like, a little, because it's not a astrological class. It's not a planetary association class. It's just to get your juices flowing a little bit.
Right.
And it's more about you getting into that meditative space. So you know, you print down the journal, and then I have a meditation. I used to do a specific one every month. Now it's just going to be a general hearing a hot chakra singing bowl. And what
you're to do is just
kind of take your finger, take your pen, or use your eyes and kind of walk through the labyrinth to get yourself just kind of grounded, to open up your heart, to open up your mind. Once that's kind of completed, once you feel like, you know, oh, I walked it once, I'm feeling good. I walked it twice, I walked it three times. I think three times is like probably enough. You should be in a nice open-hearted mm-hmm. space. You grab that pen, paper, marker, and you just free flow write. Like, doesn't matter. Whatever's coming out, write it down as you're kind of going into the circuits.
That's
and then you get to the end.
Yeah.
And it's,
wow.
Yeah. So you don't know what you're going to write ahead of time.
Right.
You know, you might have something like a topic, but things come out.
Right. It's kind of like an organic, intuitive approach, would you say?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very, very much into that.
That's great.
And I offer it to hold people accountable, right? Because we all have these, like, ideal, oh, wouldn't it be great if I did something by the full moon? And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I think the full moon was, like, 5 days ago. So it kind of like, wait, I'm paying for this. They're not paying a lot, like $13 a month. So you're paying for it. So it gives you that I must do it kind of thing.
Right.
Wow.
Well, we're cutting down to the wire. So let me ask you something. So real quickly, Jenza's Garden, is that only online or is it a physical store that you can get to?
It is not a physical store. I do have a herbal teaching garden on my property. It is kind of open by appointment or when I have classes.
Okay.
So if people are in the Rhode Island, nearby Connecticut and Massachusetts area, if they follow me on Facebook, they'll find that I post everyone's classes that I'm having there. Those are usually herbal teaching classes. But I do have a labyrinth now on my property that I built last spring, which is awesome. But there's pictures online on my website or my Facebook page, Labyrinths by Jenza's Garden, of that. But yes, so I do, I'll have open gardens where I'm like, okay, anyone who wants to show up between this hour and that hour, and people just come and help me weed and help me work in the garden. It's kind of like a sewing circle, except for we're in the garden. You're helping me out in the garden, and in exchange, I am giving you whatever herbal information you want.
That's great. So it's like they walk away with an experience as far as helping you. They walk away with knowledge of how these, you know, the herbs in the garden, and they get to see your labyrinths as well, right?
They do. You do. A lot of times I will send someone down. Before you leave, make sure you see my labyrinth. I'll send them down.
Great.
And it's I have a 1,000-foot driveway. It is halfway, a little bit above the halfway point. So I know, you know, people will be like, I'm coming to the labyrinth, and they'll park over by it. They have their experience, and then they leave, especially now with the pandemic when you're not, like, doing things together so much.
On that note, I have to intrude upon the conversation. Thank you. I enjoyed your conversation very, very much. If you'd like to share your contact information and any last thoughts, this would be a great time to do it.
Yeah.
All right.
I have a real quick question for you.
My
pleasure. Were an herb in the labyrinth, what type of herb would you be?
If I was an herb in my labyrinth, I would be plantain, because it is known to be walked all over and still be hardy, and it has so many uses.
Great. That's great. So people can reach you at?
Yeah, my email is jenzasgarden@gmail.com, and Jenza is J-E-N-Z like zebra, A, so jenzasgarden, @gmail.com. My website is www.jenzasgarden.com. My Facebook page is Jenza's Garden, and I also have Labyrinth by Jenza's Garden and Brooms by Jenza's Garden. So
excellent.
Google Jenza's Garden, you'll find
wow.
me.
Excellent. Wow. So thank you so much. And thank you
well,
all
thank you for
listening.
This opportunity.
Oh,
and you too, I'm sure people are going to want to find and talk to you.
And if you want to get in touch with me, Athena, you can reach me at athenadugan@yahoo.com, or you can find me on Walkers on Facebook.com, Walkers of the Labyrinth at Unicursal Energy. So you can find me there. And I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you, Jennifer, for sharing your lovely stories and your expertise. And thank you, Hercules, for making this all possible. And happy holidays.
To both of you as well. Thank you very much. It was an excellent episode of Living Labyrinths, and I'm looking forward to the next one we do. And happy holiday also to those who've tuned in, whether you're listening live as we speak or you're going to visit later on and experience this on demand. Until next time, joyous journeys, amazing adventures, and happy holidays. But we're going to close with Virginia Ackley's If You Can Dream, as we often do.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky. But only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream. Till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real. Dream.